folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ride Along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And we're going to jump right into the news, folks. First story takes us to Idaho. An Idaho hunter shot and killed a charging grizzly bear after officials say the animal rushed toward him and his young son in a remote area near Yellowstone National Park. Wildlife investigators determine the man acted in self-defense and will not face charges. The encounter happened the evening of Saturday, May 16, 2026, in the Caribou Targhee National Forest while the pair were hunting black bears near Cave Falls Road. According to the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, the grizzly crossed a meadow, caught the hunter's scent, and suddenly turned toward them. Officials say the hunters tried to alert the bear to their presence, but it charged anyway. The man first fired a handgun, then switched to his rifle and killed the bear only about 5 yards away. The hunter later contacted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office, which notified state wildlife officers. After investigating, officials concluded the shooting was justified because the bear posed an immediate threat to the man and his son. Grizzly bears remain protected under both state and federal law, meaning they can only legally be killed in situations involving defense of human life. The incident comes just weeks after another grizzly attack inside Yellowstone National Park, where two brothers were injured while hiking near Old Faithful. Both survived after being rescued and flown out by helicopter. Wildlife officials are reminding hunters and hikers in grizzly country to carry bear spray, travel with partners, make noise in dense areas, and stay alert for fresh bear tracks or signs.
So he was probably carrying a 10 millimeter, was the handgun, I'm assuming, that he had on his hip. And if that didn't stop the grizzly, he went to his long arm.
Well, just think about that. I am so happy to hear that this individual knew how to react, because too often folks go into grizzly country and they've not practiced, say, with a handgun. They have not prepared for a standing up kind of shot you would have to do with a rifle. Just think about some of these situations. And I'm in a lot of groups of hikers wanting to go into bear country like Yellowstone. And so many of them say, do I really need to carry bear spray? And those of us are going, yes, but not just carry it. Know how to pull the pin and use it.
Right. You've said this many times when you and your friends and family have been hunting, elk hunting in bear country in Montana, and you carry bear spray. Have you ever had to brandish it? Have you ever had to pull it out? I don't think I've ever asked you that, because you've said you'd made noise and things like that, that you thought bears were present, but have you ever had to pull bear spray?
I have not had to actually pull the bear spray, but have been in areas where we found tracks the next day where we were absolutely being tracked by a grizzly.
That'll make your pucker up tighter than a snare
when
drum.
You find, when you go back to say, what we did is, I'm going to tell the story quick, is landed, one of my good friends, he put down a beautiful, beautiful bull elk. However, it was too close to dark and needed to head back to camp. However, decided to hang the elk from the tree and just carry the head with the antlers on the backpack or the back of my friend. And we hiked out of there and didn't know, when we came back the next day to get the rest of the carcass, we kept three men on the ground cutting up this elk. And then I sat up on the top being the watcher, watching for bears. Well, I started kind of going around the perimeter and where we had been walking the night. And sure enough, that's where I found the paw prints. And I kid you not, like, I have big hands for a woman.
You have gargantuan gauntlets.
And my hand fit into, like, the palm of the bear's hand.
Okay, that was interesting, you bringing this up, that somebody was on watch, where you had a couple people that were processing said elk, but then a couple of you were on watch just paying attention because you were in bear country. I actually, that would have never gone through my mind to have a couple people just on lookout, pay attention so that other people are processing. Because if you're processing that elk, right, you're paying attention to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You would have no idea if a sow would come and sneak up on you.
Well, and then think about this, just so you can get a picture of your mind. When we were hiking back up to where we knew the carcass was, all of us, I was the only gal, the rest were guys. We actually were all singing different songs.
Yeah, you've told me
that we've learned as childhood, you know, growing up, to really let the wildlife know we were coming. We wanted those bears to hear us coming. We weren't ringing dinner bells. We were singing. But we just knew we're in bear country. You've got a dead carcass.
So what level of anxiety did you have? Was it kind of a little bit more, oh, we should kind of do this. Ha, ha, ha. We're singing songs. Or was it more elevated of, okay, this is legit. There is a bear present. This all of a sudden got taken to DEFCON 4, right?
So I'm
just curious of how anxious was everybody where, okay, this is a potential real threat.
Okay, so this is how anxious everybody was. And believe me, the guys, Tigger knows how my brothers are. They're very witty and they try to act like they're not afraid. And anyway, they were all kind of making jokes as we were singing songs. I changed the song that we were singing and started going, oh, the weather outside is. And when I took my voice to that level, every one of those guys jumped out of their skin. They were just like, they thought there was a bear.
So you were on horseback too.
We had left the horses behind and hiked up to where the carcass
okay,
was.
Okay, so when you were hiking, you were singing.
Yes, not on horseback.
I thought it was that you were on horseback and you were on your way back to camp that you were doing that.
Nope. When we came back the next morning because of the switchbacks, it was like a two-hour horseback ride, and then we left the horses behind and hiked another almost mile up to where the carcass was.
So when you're hiking, I'm assuming that even though you're singing and you're trying to, you know, not be over anxious, were all of your senses just heightened that you were literally watching for any type of movement and hearing and anything, that this was okay, this all of a sudden got kind of serious, that there is a bear present.
It was very serious. Before we even left camp, it was all of us were checking our handguns. We were making sure that, you know, sometimes when you have your holster on, especially when we got off our horses, was it in a position where we could easily grab your handgun?
Oh, right. Like a coat doesn't cover it
exactly,
up. Exactly.
Because
that happens
all the time. It's cold. Montana gets really cold. You're bundled up. You can't move the way it is. But we all were making sure. We'll just put it that way.
You almost said a bad word.
That we could easily get to our handguns, or, you know, we had our rifles on our back, so we could easily swing those around. Just be safe. All I could say is it's a whole nother world when you're in bear country.
I know that you had other stuff that you wanted to talk about, but this was, I thought, way more interesting to share your stories in bear country.
Well, I didn't expect us to go down that road with the grizzly bears, but
it was a good story.
It was fun to share.
I'm glad you were sharing your own experiences.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're heading to the branding pen. You're listening to The Ben Show.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females add an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7-pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work.
Welcome back to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. All right, I got to share with y'all. Right now, we are in my most favorite time of year. It is branding season.
So why is it your favorite time of year?
I think
is it the camaraderie, the food, the cattle, the horses, or all the above? There it is.
You've pretty much nailed it. It is my Christmas. I tell all my friends and family, neighbors that have brandings, this is my Christmas. Why? Because, yes, you see all those old friends you haven't seen in months, thanks to calving season, planting, all of that happening. And then on top of it, you know, the laughs, you're working hard. Everyone's just in a better mood. And to end it all, you end up with an amazing meal that those ladies put together. I mean, we're talking all the fixings, everything that I love for food, I end up eating over the next couple of weeks.
So if you have the opportunity to take in a branding, I highly encourage it. But here are 10 unspoken rules when you show up at the ranch, at the branding. I didn't come up with these. These are great. I got to give credit to Western Horsemen on this. And I'm just going to go through this list with you, see what you think about this. No particular order. Number one, don't ride in front of the boss.
Oh, that's an excellent one.
Because
I agree.
The person that is, it's their ranch, they're kind of overseeing everything. They're watching the irons and things like that.
And I'm going to add to that, don't take off until the boss has given the orders of how, say, the cattle are going to be rounded up.
A lot
of times he will break everybody up into a minimum of two, if not three different groups, and he'll even name off who's in charge of that group to lead off.
Okay, so that would go along with another one on this list. Do the job that the ranch owner or the boss assigns you.
100%. Don't ever show up at a branding and expect A, to get a job, or B, that a certain job is going to be your job.
So if you are a roper and you are asked to come and rope, I know there's some people that are asked specifically, can you come and rope because they got some serious cowboy skills? And then there's other times where, and I'll be honest, Beck is 10 times the roper that I am. 100 times. I will openly admit that. I am the rodeo announcer in our crew. I'm the ex-bull rider. I have zero roping skills. I mean zero. I am no good whatsoever.
Well,
I'm good for comic relief.
But you're always invited back, Tigger.
But I'm always invited back.
And you can run a branding iron like no other.
Like
everyone,
there's no tomorrow.
Everyone picks Tigger for the branding because you are so meticulous about
fussy.
Laying that iron on the hide.
I'm fussy. Okay.
But
what
back
am,
to,
sorry,
hold
go ahead.
On, the whole roping thing. This is what I want to share with all of you. And I said this strictly when my nephews were very young. We'd go to a branding and they would always say, Aunt Beck, do you think I'll get to rope? And I would always respond with, remember, it is an honor to be asked to rope. And to lead into that, I wrote an article that got published a few years back. And you happened to read that article, Tigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you and I are together.
That's actually how we got together, is because of that article. Okay, this one. Only come if you're invited. I mean, that's I can see that both ways.
That one I'm a little shaky on. I mean, if you don't get along with whoever's having said branding, you're not going to show up, right? But always just remember to be very, very gracious to whoever's hosting that branding, because there's a lot of planning and dollars that go into having said branding. So just make sure you're very kind.
Okay, what about this one? No dragging calves to the fire above the hock or by one leg.
I'm going to agree.
That's very, very, very important.
Never drag a calf out by one leg.
Yep.
You see this happen, you cringe. Why do you not do this? Because that's how you get a leg broke.
Exactly right. Learn how to vaccinate properly. Extremely important. You know, if I can jump in, I know it's really important, those people that are roping, but I think it's just as important, if not more, those people that are vaccinating, that they do it properly.
Vaccination is extremely important. First off, you don't realize how expensive each one of those inoculations is. So also the shoot boss, or sorry, not the shoot boss, but the ranch boss, if he's at the pickup filling syringes, let him do it, because they're very careful about not wasting vaccine. And then back to where you said with the location, 100%. A lot of times these calves are getting at least two, if not more, vaccinations, and they cannot be placed besides each other. So you have to work as a team.
Right.
If one of you is given seven way, for example, you're going to want to say, are you going high or low on the neck? And then the other one, of course, is going to go the opposite way.
Exactly. Very good. Like you've done this a time or two, if not a thousand. This one, I agree with a bazillion percent, no dogs allowed. And I agree with that. And what I mean by that is no dogs allowed is when you get up and now you're actually processing cattle, put them dogs away.
Okay,
if you want to have them gather, that's fine, but then put them away after that.
This is my deal with the dogs, okay? You do not bring your dog to another person's operation without having asked before you show up.
Absolutely.
Reason being is a lot of times if their cattle are not used to a dog, they might think of it as a coyote and we don't want a stampede to happen. The other side of it is not everybody's horses are used to having dogs running around. So I really, my honest opinion, if you have, even if it is an unbelievable cow dog, you don't bring a dog to a branding unless you've asked ahead of time.
100%. And I've seen this so many times. It's never the dog's fault. It's the handlers. Mm-hmm. They don't have a handle on that dog the way they should. But okay, moving on. This is extremely important. No loping in the pen.
Never.
This is for the ropers out there.
You will never see somebody, at least I can say I have never seen anybody lope into the pen.
I haven't either.
That is, or even trot. I mean, it is a very steady eddy type of format. Think about manufacturing.
Fast is slow, slow is fast.
Yes. Think about even when you think about assembly lines, manufacturing. If you go to a branding, it is all streamlined. Everybody knows their job and they're going at a certain pace.
Learn how to wrestle calves properly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is so funny. Even at my age, I'm going to brag on this one. I'm still known as one of those to train the youngins. Youngins, one of our neighbors back home, Kim Enzi, I'm going to throw his name out there. Kim, to this day, will still go and say when I show up at a branding, if whether I'm photographing, I'm roping, excuse me, or I am giving shots, he'll say, hold on. Back, get over here and show this guy how to wrestle a calf.
Well, that doesn't mean that if you are invited and you've never done it before, please come out and learn. There is a proper way of how to wrestle those calves based on if you've got two people that are holding them, if you're using Nord forks, if you're working on the left side of the calf, the right side of the calf. I mean, there's proper ways of how to restrain said calf. We've seen it 1,000 times. You get a lot of these big burly high school boys out there that
they're
ready to play ball, and they come in and you can't just manhandle them. There's a certain way to finesse those calves. Learn the proper way. It'll be a lot easier on you and them calves in the future.
That's the truth right there, because growing up having done this, and I had to quit doing the wrestling when I got into my early 30s, but I have watched more of us gals wrestle some of the biggest calves versus these, you know, like you said, I say football players, wrestlers and such, because you got to learn the technique. It's all about physics. It's about understanding the leverage and how to put your power and your weight a certain way. And yeah, you get the hang of it pretty quick if you do it right.
Beck's done this before. My last one, I think this is ultimately the most important. Always be aware of your surroundings. It doesn't matter if you're roping and you're dragging a calf out, if you've got a hot iron, if you've got that syringe, if you're vaccinating, if you're taking pictures, or if you're just spectating. Like my dad, he likes to come out and he likes to watch different brandings. Just be aware of your surroundings.
Yes, keep your head up and looking around, because think about it. We're dealing with livestock, whether it be the calves on the ground, the horses that those ropers are using. Sometimes things happen. You can't stop nature. A rope might get under a horse's tail, and all of a sudden, that roper is pulling a calf out way faster than they should be, but it's not really their fault. That horse got spooked. Again, you're dealing with animals. So there's no guarantees of always safety happening. Everyone's trying to be as safe as they can, but you got to know where you're at. When you brought up photographers, that one I want to jump on, because I'm an amateur photographer.
You are a very good photographer. Don't even say amateur. You've got serious skills, not just in the rope and pen, but holding the camera too.
Well, thank you, honey. I do shoot with a full frame and all of that. But one of the reasons why I get asked at brandings to photograph or to photograph them, excuse me, is because I understand we're dealing with livestock. I understand the directions, what's going on in all of this. If you're new to it, it might look like a crazy circus, but it's not a circus.
You don't get in the way. You have to know.
You never get in the way, and you do not go into that roping pen with your camera. You learn where to stand to be out of the way and grab some amazing photos.
So obviously you're all jacked about branding season. So let's just wrap this up. We've got a few more minutes left in the show. Horses are already loaded in the trailer, y'all, and she's heading down the road.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen, the nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. In the co-host chair is Jeff Tigger Earhart. First question is, how's the fishing going? It's Memorial Weekend, and I hope you're reeling in the biggins. For this story I have to share with you, we head to Minnesota, where a group of fishing friends from North Dakota reeled in a record-breaking catch during their annual spring trip to the Rainy River in northern Minnesota. Travis Keating and nine friends traveled to the river near Lake of the Woods in mid-April of this year, targeting Lake Sturgeon as the giant fish gathered near the river mouth ahead of spawning season. Despite bitter cold, strong winds, and slow fishing after a cold front moved through, the group kept at it. On April 18th of this year, Keating and his cousin Adam and his friend Brandon Clevegard were fishing in rough conditions when Keating hooked an enormous sturgeon at dusk. The battle lasted about an hour, with the fish staying deep and powerful the entire time. When the fish finally surfaced, the crew realized it was too large for their landing net. Travis Keating then grabbed the tail while Clevegard grabbed its fins by hand, hauling the massive sturgeon into the boat barehanded. The sturgeon measured, get this, 80 inches long with a girth of 38 inches. Using Minnesota,
that's like a shark, Beck.
I know. Using Minnesota Department of Natural Resources estimates, the fish weighed about 165 pounds. After recording measurements and video, the anglers released the fish back into the river. The next day, Keating submitted the catch for review, and Minnesota officially has recognized it as the new state catch and release record for Lake Sturgeon, surpassing the previous 78-inch record set in 2019. Keating himself described the moment as pure chaos and says he's already looking forward to returning next spring.
Oh, so you can't keep said sturgeon.
No, it's catch and release.
That would be incredible to have this 80-inch fish mounted. I know a lot of guys, and we have family and we have friends that are in the taxidermy business, and they said they hate doing fish.
Well, just to
it
put
it drives them nuts because I got to hand paint everything. So could you imagine if you could have kept this 80-inch shark, more or less?
Just think about this.
That's massive.
To really think about it, 80 inches, how big it is, because I saw a photo of the man that pulled it in laying besides this sturgeon before they threw it back in. 80 inches is 6.5 feet. 6.5 feet. Now Tigger and
That's
I are both going,
fish.
Okay, we are not 6 foot. So that is a huge fish.
Congratulations.
Tigger, as you are the fisherman in our household, what are your thoughts about catch and release?
Oh, versus keeping a pile of them?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I believe that if you can take some home and eat them, of course, but the whole kind of catch and release thing, especially in the spring when water is cold and the fish are kind of better eating. You know, if you're like in small creeks or a small pond or something, they're always better when the water's cold, of course, eaten anyway. If you can take them home and fillet them, if the kids don't know how to fillet fish, teach them. Because you take, especially when there's these bodies of water that have lots of little fish in them, if you take them out, that gives the opportunity for the other fish in there to get bigger.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm a big one for if you can take some fish home and make a meal out of it, do that. So I think a good skill to teach the wee ones, the beginning anglers in your family, is how to fillet the fish and fillet them properly.
And that's all for this week, folks. Thank you again for riding along with us. And remember to keep sending in any questions you might have. If you know of something spot worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports. If you've been reeling in the biggins, we want to hear about it. You can call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this episode or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all you listeners that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.